Happy Sunday, happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Can I have everybody stand up? We want to welcome all the campuses all over San Diego. We want to welcome the campus in Oahu. I'm Miles McPherson, Pastor of the Rock Church. We are starting a new series today called Back to Life. Everyone say Back to Life. And we had a special worship moment here in Point Loma that I want to share with all of you out there. Probably my favorite part of worship is hearing the congregation praise God. And it's times when we're worshiping with all the music and it's loud and everything, and then the music will go low and they'll stop singing and they'll let the congregation sing. And one of the things we sang today was Holy Spirit. Let me get it, because I always forget it. Holy Spirit, have your way. And so I just want to take a minute and have all of us and all the campuses declare that to the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, have your way. So I'm going to have Howard come up and sing, because my singing will distract the mood. Everybody's got a gift. This ain't mine. So we're just going to sing this. And he's going to sing it one time. But then we're all going to sing it. And I want all of y'all, as you're singing, to listen to what's happening around you, because it is the sweetest sound for God to hear us to say to him, have your way with us, or whatever we worship him. Just remember, whenever we're worshiping, it's not about this. It's about this. It's about, they're trying to get us to declare truths to God. That's what it is. It's not a show. When you go to a concert, you know, you sing songs. This, we are worshiping him. And so all the words and all the worship songs are declarations to God from our heart. And when we can get there, then your worship is going to be powerful. So let's sing that.
Say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Forever all my days. Hallelujah.
Just the voices here last time. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Ignorance, with all the questions we have, all the burdens we carry, and we're telling you, we're asking you to have your way with our life. We don't know how to do this. So we ask you, have your way with our life. Speak to us today. Encourage us today. Bring clarity to who we are and why we are today. We acknowledge that you are here. We acknowledge that you create us for a relationship. We acknowledge that you want to speak to us and encourage us and love us and guide us and empower us and forgive us and give us clarity. So have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a hug next to you. Give someone a hug. Hey, if every day you woke up and all throughout your day, you told God, God, have your way with me. God created all of us for a relationship. Everyone say relationship. God created all of us for a relationship, and we rebel against him every day. We say, God, I want to do my own thing, and we ruin it. And then we try to get back to God, and we can't. So he sent his son Jesus down to die and rise from death for our sin. And so every day we have to remind ourselves it's really about our relationship with God. It's not about your money. It's not about your friends, your family first. All that stuff comes. But first, it has to be about your relationship with God. And then God will teach you how to be a husband, a wife, a boss, an employee, an employer, a friend, an encourager, a challenger. He will guide you to who you are, why you are. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. I had some conversation yesterday. She was 27 years old. And I was saying, listen, God wants to guide you through every decision you make, through your boyfriends, through your businesses, what job you're going to have, what classes you're going to take in school, where you're going to go to school. He wants to have a relationship with you. And so when you say to the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, have your way with me, speak to me, guide me. If you can do that every single day and he can guide you and speak to you about every decision, that's the kind of intimacy he wants with you. It's not that complicated. This is not religion. You don't want to get caught up in religion. Religion is, here's these set rules I got to do and like a robot. God wants to walk with you like your daddy. And so my prayer is that you would just have that song singing in your heart and you would be like, Lord, just have your way with me. And if you how many of y'all are struggling with a big decision right now? Something's going on in your life. Okay, do this today. God, here's the decision and share it with him as much detail as possible. Say, please give me wisdom in this decision and watch what he does. Amen? Amen. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. As you turn there, 4 more weeks is Easter. It's one of the most attended services in the world. That means a lot of your friends who don't normally go to church are going to be looking to go to church on Easter. So be praying about who you are going to invite in 4 weeks from now. We have Good Friday, the 29th of March, Easter service, March 30th, which is my birthday, by the way. Just put that in your calendar, okay? So we'll have service Saturday night, March 30th, and then March 31st is Easter Sunday. So we'll have services all that weekend, and we're looking forward to that. Today we're going to have communion. All the campus pastors are going to be sharing communion after the message today. Yesterday, I did a funeral, and it was for a firefighter. One of our members here and his family was there, obviously, and funeral messages are really simple to me. It's a very, very, very simple question. What's going to happen next? All of us are going to die. All of us are going to die. And if we can take a pause and understand that the time that you exist, because you don't die when you die, the time you exist after your death here is longer than your time here. Your existence after you die, which you are going to all be aware of, is going to be much longer eternity than your life here. So you want to make sure during your life here, you get ready for your life there. So this series we're going to talk about is back to life, because all of us are going to come back to life. The question is, what kind of life are we going to come back to? So we're going to do a series between now and Easter on back to life, but each sermon is going to be based on the resurrection, because the resurrection is what determines what kind of life we're going to have after. Now, if you just die and don't exist anymore and you go into oblivion, then eat, drink, and be merry. Do whatever you want to do, because it doesn't matter. In other words, if you believe that you're going to live this life and do whatever you're going to do and you're just going to die and cease to exist, then do whatever you want to do. Read the Bible, don't read the Bible. Go to church, don't go to church. Because when you die, you're just gone, it don't matter. But if in fact Jesus Christ rose from the dead and promises us eternal life, we have to decide, do we believe that or not? And if we believe that, then we should live our life accordingly to prepare for that. So in this series, hopefully today, but in every week we're going to talk about a different aspect of the resurrection. Today we're going to talk about resurrection purpose. We're going to talk about resurrection proof of the resurrection, because if he really rose from the dead, you want to know if there's proof. Because if you're like, man, he never rose from the dead, when there's a whole lot of proof that he did, then you need to know that. We're going to talk about resurrection power. We're going to talk about resurrection perspective. But at the end of the day, we want to encourage you and inform you how solid your foundation of your salvation is. Not only to give you confidence that you're standing on a rock, no pun intended, but that also when you share the gospel with your friends and your enemies and your family, which are kind of both friends and enemies, you have a solid foundation upon which to stand. And this is not just one of the many options to get to God. Because Jesus Christ is not religion. There are many religions in the world, and all religions are man's way to try to get to God, and all of them will fail. Let me say it really slow. All religions will fail because religion can't get you to the mountaintop. Because we're imperfect, and God's standard is perfection. We'll never get there. That's why Jesus, God sent his perfect son to come die for us. And so you want to know that the difference between Christianity, which is not a religion, it's a faith, there's a big difference, is a risen, resurrected Savior. And if you can understand that, then you can walk around for sure that God is with you, even when you don't feel like it, even when your life is not going good, your prayers aren't getting answered in your timing, in your way. You're like, my God's not real. You need to slow your roll. And because if you know he rose from the dead, and you know what he's been through, and you know that he's patient, and you know he's never let you down, can I get amen? Amen. You heard Rebecca, all the campuses, we had a testimony. I'm sure y'all had testimonies. But whenever you hear someone's testimony, you hear about all their dark times. And in those dark times, God was right there. And he was just waiting for submission. So he's there. And he's never late. He is perfect timing. Because sometimes he'll let you wallow in your mud to make sure you don't want to go back to the mud. Make sure you know that mud tastes nasty, and sometimes that mud you're eating ain't mud. But it's all yours. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read from the beginning. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Moreover, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which now you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you." Here's the gospel, very, very clearly. Unless you believe in vain. It says, "For I deliver you." This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking to a church in a city called Corinth. That's why they call it the Corinthians, just like the San Diegans. It says, "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I received, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Everyone say, Christ died for me. He didn't die for him because he had no sin. So he didn't die for him. He died for us. And then he was buried. Say, he was buried. And then he rose on the third day, according to the scripture. Say, he rose on the third day. Now, we've heard all that, but that all means nothing. There was a show called Hogan's Heroes. I believe it was Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. For all you only old people know that show. That was Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. So here's the thing. He says, this means nothing if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. This all hinges on the actual resurrection from the dead. Let me say it very clearly. The whole Bible means nothing if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I'm going to say it again. The whole Bible means nothing if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I'm going to say it one more time. The whole Bible. Now, are there two stories, wise sayings? Yeah, but in the term of eternity, and salvation, the whole Bible means nothing if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So today we're going to talk about resurrection proof. We're going to talk about different kinds of resurrections. Then we're going to get to Jesus' resurrection. Number one, some people were raised back to earthly life. There were many people in the Bible raised from the dead, but they weren't raised from the dead in the way Jesus is rose from the dead, and in the way that we are going to be rise from the dead. Elijah raised a boy from the dead in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elisha raised a Shunammite son from the dead, 2 Kings, and this is Old Testament chapter 4. Jesus raised a little girl, 12 years old, from the dead, Mark chapter 5. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, John 11. Jesus raised a boy. They were having a funeral, walking down the street. And this is wild. Jesus stops the funeral and raises the boy from the dead out of the coffin. That's a bad brother right there. Come on now. You don't think walking with God is exciting? Imagine that. Peter raised Dorcas or Tabitha from the dead, Acts chapter 9. Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. Paul was preaching all night long. It was after midnight. This dude was sitting in the window on the third floor. He fell asleep on Paul's sermon and died. Fell out the third story window. Paul went over and prayed on him, raised him from the dead. He said, "Don't ever fall asleep on my sermon again, okay?" Here's the thing about all these resurrections in the Bible. There's no evidence that these people were raised from the dead and didn't die again. In other words, they rose from the dead, but they were just given the life they had before they died. Now, why is that? God, this is just my opinion, God was saying death is not the end. There is power beyond death. And so the Bible was just showing a little hint that, listen, when you die, it ain't over. Now, these people rose from the dead and had their regular life back, and then they had to die again. So it's a different kind of resurrection, but they rose from the dead to share, to say that this, there is power beyond death. We think death is final. Let me wipe my mouth. Death ain't final. Death's not final. Number two, some will be raised to dead to a born again life. This is a positional resurrection. This is amazing. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and you are positioned spiritually in heaven with Christ. Jesus lived, died, rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to live in you. So when you say, Christ, come live in my heart, actually, the Holy Spirit is living in you. But the Bible says that you positionally, spiritually, are seated in heaven. In other words, Jesus represents you and I. He is praying for you day and night as your son and as his daughter. You have been resurrected. When I physically die, I am immediately with Christ. So positionally, I've already been resurrected from the dead. Look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, you were given eternal life. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are forgiven. You inherit eternal life. The rest of your earthly life, you are starting to experience the benefits of that eternal life. You get over your drug addiction. You get over your depression. You get over things. You're transformed every single day and on to perfection. Perfection comes after you resurrect physically, after you die. This is a whole nother thing when Christ comes back. But in the process of this life, you start to experience the benefits of your eternal life, of your new born again life. Look what the Bible says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. In other words, if God has forgiven me of my sin and God has assured me that he loves me and no one can take that away from me, why should I be worried about what you think? If God is now your heavenly Father, is your Father, and he loves you perfectly, he's the one who can help you get over your earthly daddy issues. And by the way, earthly daddy issues are a real thing. And mommy issues, come on now. And mommy issues, parent issues. God says, now I have given you eternal life. I've given you eternal relationship with me. I can help you understand those things and get you through that pain. And so instead of, now that you have Christ in your life, you've been resurrected, you have eternal life in you. Set your mind on this earth based on that perspective. Instead of walking down, it's like you're in a jungle. It's a jungle sometimes. I don't even wonder how I'm keeping going under. And you're like, how am I going to get past this? Who am I going to get? I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get paid. It's like, no. It's not about how much you have more money than that person, more girls than that person, more guys than that person. It's about me and you. It's about my purpose on your life, my perspective on your life. And so if you've been raised and born again, set your mind on things above. Number three, some will be resurrected to life. We're going to get to that in a minute. After you die as a believer, there's going to come a time when you're going to be resurrected with a new body to live forever. We'll get to that in a minute. And then some will be resurrected to face judgment. Here's the thing. There are people who say, well, I don't believe in God. Just because you don't believe in something doesn't make it not true. I can go on the top of a 3-story building and say, I don't believe in gravity. Gravity's like, you know, there's a video on Instagram, and it's a narration on how to how to resist great white sharks when they swim up to you. Y'all see that? This great white shark just, he's swimming, they swim. And they said, when a great white swims up to you, you face it, you put your hand on its snout and just move it to the side. Okay, I think I'll try that. Well, the great white has not seen that video, okay? So just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. I don't believe in God, so I don't have to worry about if he's going to judge me or not, because I don't believe in him, which means it doesn't apply to me. That does not, that's not what that means. John chapter 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, whether you're in a grave or you're in a bottle. My mother was cremated, and my sister asked me today, have you visited mommy's grave? I said, well, mommy's in a bottle, but yeah. I mean, so just let's not get it twisted. Anybody who's dead, that's what that means, okay? Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You're either going to rise from the dead and face God where he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the pleasure of the Lord. Or you're going to face God, you will be condemned to everlasting punishment. Now, everlasting punishment is everlasting distance and separation from the love of God. That's all it means. I had a friend of mine, he would not accept the Lord after I got saved. Me and him hung out, did drugs, all that kind of stuff. I got saved, he didn't get saved. And he says to me one day, as I'm inviting him to church, he says, hey man, if it wasn't for people like me, sinners, you as a pastor wouldn't have a job. I said, you know, that's a really, really, really wise saying, but it'd be kind of dumb if you are the guy who wants to be that guy. Why would you want to be that guy? Now, if that guy, I'm not going to say his name because, you know, he's changed his life, but that guy, if all his life he said, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I want you to listen to this. God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. If that guy held that position his whole life, God, in his loving way, would say, I grant you your wish. You will never see me again. You will never hear of me again. You will never be anywhere near my love and my compassion and my blessing. It so happens to be that the only place that is hell. So some people are going to be rise from the dead to everlasting life. Some are going to rise from the dead to everlasting judgment. The resurrection is the transition from this life to the next, whatever that life is. And so we get to number 5, Jesus' resurrection gives us the hope we always wanted. I want you to read this with me. It says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. If Christ did not rise from the dead, everything I'm saying means nothing. Coming to church means nothing. It may help you emotionally feel good about yourself, but in the scope of eternity, it means nothing. We're all just going to die and rot. What we believe in is empty. And then it says, yes, we are found to be false witnesses of God. I am a liar, and every pastor is a liar if Christ is not risen from the dead, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, you are not forgiven of your sin. All your transformation is an illusion. It's all fake. It's all a figment of your imagination. I'm not really delivered from my cocaine habit. I'm not really delivered from all the stuff I used to do. It's just in my head. If I don't have new life, eternal life, if you don't have new life, then we have no hope of just anything past this life. And then look what it says in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Say he is risen. Say he is risen. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Three main points, three final points, and I'll close and land this plane. We serve a living Savior. Say, my Savior is alive. Come on now, church, come on, come on. Because Christ is alive, because he really did die, rise from the dead. And by the way, next week we're gonna talk about resurrection proof. But because he rose from the dead, we serve a living Savior. That means your Savior wants to talk to you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to guide you. He made you in his image so he could talk to you. When people have children, those children are made in the image of people. They're humans. They have a soul. They have, you know, respiratory system, circulatory system, endocrine system, a muscular system, a skeletal system, et cetera, et cetera. Mental, electrical, nervous system. We have all those things, right? And because of that, we can communicate to each other. But if my I don't have a dog, but I used to have a dog. We had a dog named Lucy. It was a little. It was a Dachshund. We couldn't communicate to Lucy like we can communicate to each other. Lucy, do this. Lucy, do that. She's like, it wasn't happening because she wasn't in my image. God created us in his image so we can have a relationship with him. We have a living Savior that wants to speak to you. He wants to encourage you and guide you because he is risen. He's listening. He's watching. He's trying to guide you. Your faith is alive. Look at number two. Because he is risen, we have a living faith. You have faith in something that wants to communicate to you. If Christ is not living, we are trusting in something that doesn't exist. We are trusting in a Savior that's not there. We're trusting in a God that doesn't speak to us, can't encourage us, can't respond to you, can't love you. And number three, we will resurrect with a new spiritual body. I want to read something to you because this may be something that hopefully is encouragement to you, especially for all of us who work out and we're trying to keep our body looking good. Let me tell you something. It's going to go down at some point. It's going to go down. When we resurrect, we get a new body. Now, you can't have that person's body or that person's body. God's going to give you a version of what you are, but it's going to be a spiritual body. A little hint of what that looks like. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he was walking through walls. He was appearing places. He ascended into heaven. I have no idea how this spiritual body is going to work. It's going to be beyond our mind. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It's going to be the body we originally should have had with Adam and Eve before they sinned. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection from the dead. The body is sown in corruption. When we die because we had a sinful body. But it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. It is sown a natural body and raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being and the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. In a minute, we're going to pray and then take communion. God is going to resurrect us with a whole new body. There's some things that the Bible can only tell us a little bit about because it is like, poof! Every night when you go to sleep, I believe, this is just my own theory, that we rehearse life, death, and resurrection. Every night when you go to sleep, I believe that we rehearse life, death, resurrection. Before you go to sleep, you're alive, you're awake, walking around doing your thing during the day. Then at night, you go to sleep, you die. All throughout the Bible, God refers to people who die as being asleep. And when you're asleep, you have this almost reality experience in a dream. It's something like this, but not really. And sometimes those dreams are exciting, and sometimes those dreams are horrifying. The exciting dreams mimic going to heaven. We have this sense of a body and sense of seeing and hearing and running and diving and flying through the air. It's just like a little hint of what it's going to be like, but it's not really clear because it's just a shadow of the future. And then we have these dreams that are horrifying. They're scary. I remember one day I'm laying in bed and my wife hits me with a pillow. She woke me up by going, bam, and then turns around like that. I'm like, what? She said, you were mean to me in my dream. It was so real to her. I'm like, I'm right here. She's like, well, you were with some girl. I was like, oh, was she cute? I'm just, you know, but but it was so real to her. She was like, bam, woke me up. And we have these nightmares that, and it's like God saying, there's a heaven and a hell. And you're going to one of the two. There is no such place as annihilation. So I'm going to ask you to, in a minute, to bow your heads and close your eyes. And here's the decision. Do you believe that God created you for a relationship and that our sin pushed him away? And that he sent his son down, Jesus, to live the life we should have lived as a role model, perfect in every way, proving that he was God. Then he died as a ransom for our sin. He paid the price for us because the penalty of our sin is death. He said, I'll die for you and give you opportunity to live. Then he rose from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God and prove that he had power over life and death and to prove to us that believing in him would pay off. You never really want to believe in someone to give you eternal life if they don't have it themselves. And all you have to do is receive by faith his forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. Have your way. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray. And after that, we're going to take communion. I would challenge you as we take communion that you do not take communion if you have not asked Christ to be your Savior. So we're going to give you opportunity to do that now. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you died and rose from the dead. As you're sitting in your seat, listening online, driving down the road, listening on your phone, what have you, if you realize that God created you for a relationship you may not have, your sin has separated you from God, but you believe that he sent his son Jesus to die and rise from the dead, and you would like him to forgive you of your sin and come live in your heart, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me, that you died and rose from the dead for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Jesus, send the Holy Spirit to live in my heart and have your way with my life. I surrender my life to you. I want to be born again. I want resurrection life. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in any of the campuses, just slip your hand up really high. Just slip your hand up, eyes closed, head bowed. Very good, very good. All over, really high, really high. Way, really good. Good, 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 good. God bless you. Put your hands down. Lord, thank you for those hands. Lord, I pray now as we, all the campuses, take communion, that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give those people a big hand. God bless y'all.